1 Samuel chapter 15, Samuel said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord." Hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Voices. That's what we're speaking about tonight. Voices. The word voice occurs in these 24 verses that we read 7 times. 2 of those occurrences, the word is translated with other English words, and we'll point them out in a moment. But the Hebrew word for voice occurs 7 times. It's occurring in verse 1, and it occurs also at the end of the portion in verse 24. And as we wind our way through the story, because there's a story here, there are many ways of looking at the story and going through the narrative, but as we wind our way through the narrative, we want to do so by means of this thread, passing through the word voice. And as you look at verse 1 there, where it first occurs, "Therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord," that has really struck me. Samuel could have just said, as often is the case in the Bible, "Hearken unto the words of the Lord." That might be sufficient in itself. Just hear the word of the Lord. But he says here, "Hearken thou unto the voice." Literally the sound, the audible noise of the words of the Lord. So we're talking about something audible tonight. I think that's unusual. What's the difference? What odds does it make if he puts in the word voice here at all? Well, a voice is a sound, a noise, something actually heard, and it vibrates the ears and it does something physically in your body, and it triggers certain things in your mind the way a scene doesn't trigger. Very important to hear. A voice is vital to benefit from the word of God. What is a voice? Well, a voice is a sound in the Bible. It's not necessarily the voice of a man. It could be the voice of an animal, the voice of a beast, whatever it is being identified with. With man, it's usually words, inaudible words, but it's really a sound. The noise coming out, that is according to that creature, whether man or beast. Something you recognize and you can say that's a man's voice, or that's a sheep's voice, or that's an oxen's sound. That's their sound, we can say. That's their voice. And even among us all, we can say the same sentence, but it can be a so different voice. Our voices are all different and distinct. And we say the same things in different ways. And the Lord has ways of saying things as well as the words that he speaks. So it's an audible noise. But I think that coming to the fore here in the chapter is the idea of sound. Something verbal. Something that's just physically shaking the air and the molecules and it's going into your ear in a way that it doesn't go into your eyes. And that's what we have here in verse 1. And Samuel is emphasizing that. "Hearken you unto the sound of the words of the Lord." Listen to the sound. Listen to the voice. Now, the voice of Samuel's, because he's going to speak the words of the Lord. The words are God's. The voice is going to be Samuel's as he describes it. But he's telling him, "You focus on the sounds." There's an emphasis on the audible. And there always is in the Bible. The emphasis is not on reading. The emphasis is on the hearing. On the audible. Always in the Bible there is that emphasis set forth. On the actual sound of the words. Faith cometh by hearing. Doesn't say reading. Doesn't say seeing. Actually hearing the voice, something audible, by the hearing of the word of God. You remember how Paul said to the Thessalonians, "We thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us," you heard it of us, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. Agate is a fact of two. But I think Samuel and the Bible tells us there's something special about listening and hearing. Samuel doesn't write the words and ask Saul to read them. And if he had, in ancient times, Saul actually would have read them audibly. Quiet reading is recent. Anyone reads in ancient times, they're saying the words, they're speaking the words, they're chanting or reading the words. There's always noise, always voice, because they know it's important to go in agate, especially agate. Now, I know there is a modern debate in this world by the professionals on which is the best, and they're not all agreed on which is the best. Most seem to think that while reading and hearing trigger sort of different responses and processes in the brain, most sort of say, well, the results are just more or less the same. Well, we'll leave that to the professionals to discuss, but I certainly know in the Bible there is an emphasis on the hearing. And it has pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. He doesn't say reading. By the foolishness of preaching to save they and not believe. Faith comes by hearing. So I think there is an emphasis on hearing in the Bible. And reading, as I say, even in ancient times was hearing because they read it audibly. There's always a voice in the Bible. Always sound. For a start tonight, I can encourage you to engage in the audible reading of Scripture and the audible hearing of the Word of God, and audibly saying as you read the Scripture yourself. Listen to the reading of Scripture. Use eargate as well as eyegate. It triggers different and important processes in the mind and in the body. Voice is important. I think that's the lesson tonight. Hearken to the voice of the words of the Lord. And that's why church is as it is. We don't, you know, print out handouts and set you in your wee space and there it is, you know, get on with it. Somebody will be finished in an hour and another person will be finished in an hour and a half and off you go home. Not a sign. You've done all the reading, you've done all the work, you've done it all by process of the eyes. That's not what church is about. There's very little of the eye work in church at all, except the minister to read the word. It's all audible. It's all sound. It's all noise. It's all voice. Prayer, praise, scripture, preaching, even the announcements. Hearken unto the voice, Samuel says. Not just the words alone, but the voice of the words too. The sound of them. Let the sound of them change you. Which is why the ancient Christians were always singing the Psalms, always singing the Word of God, always speaking the Word of God. It was audible. Always audible. So verses 2 to 3 contain the voice that Saul heard. Hearken to the voice. This is the voice. Verses 2 and 3. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember what Amalek did to Israel, how he led in wait when he came over from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek. Utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not. Slay man or woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. And Saul heard that. He definitely heard it. He can't mistake it at all. He heard it. It entered by ear gate. His ears vibrated. It entered into his body. body and soul. Samuel is saying, Saul, I'm going to speak clearly. I'm going to speak faultlessly. He might even have practiced the voice and the speech. I'm going to speak the voice. You listen. I've prepared these sentences, and this is the voice of the word of the Lord, so you listen carefully. That makes it all the more solemn, doesn't it? Now, Samuel actually does three things in this solemn voice. He first of all tells him, it's God's word, thus saith the Lord of hosts. And then he tells him, hear God's remembrance of Amalek. I remember what Amalek did whenever you were come out of Egypt. And then the third thing he tells him is, what I want you to do. And it's clearly spoken, clearly stated. Now go and smite Amalek. Utterly destroy all. Spare nothing. So there it is, all clear as day, clear as noon. And this utter destruction is what the Hebrews call being put under the ban. Nothing for man. It's all banned for man, and it's all God's, and it's all to be utterly destroyed. You're to take nothing of it home. It's banned from your house. It's banned from your life. It's to be utterly consumed and destroyed. Now, the thing about a voice is that it can give emphasis. That's the marvelous thing about a voice. It can lay stress on certain words or certain phrases. It can pause and make a gap. And there can be a voice of silence for a moment. Even silence has a voice. And then it can continue. Now, I don't know how Samuel did all of that. Where he led the stress, where he had the pauses, where the emphasis was in the tone, in the voice, where he raised his voice, where he lowered his voice. I don't know. I can't replicate that. But Samuel did all that. As one who knew the mind of God, where the stress and emphasis was. And that's why voice is important. You don't get that in reading. It takes a soul, it takes a spirit, it takes a person, and the vibration coming out of a soul that is filled with that word, conveying it to you. That's voice. And that's vital. That's important. And so it conveys pathos, passion, emotion. It's not just a cold, still book. And that's the thing about audible, about voice. And it's why preaching is so important. Because it's from a living person. Hopefully filled with the Spirit to some degree. Conveying God's word to someone else who is hopefully also to some degree filled with the same Spirit. So where this voice puts stress is debatable in verses 2 and 3. Now, I know that the Hebrew Bible has all kinds of marks and accents and wee strokes here above the letters, maybe sometimes even below the letters. And sometimes it is thought that they may put where the stress and emphasis is. But I don't know much about that. But in these verses, passion must have been felt or conveyed in some way. Where? Let's look at it. Let's give an example. Thus saith the Lord. I remember. I remember. God remembers. Or perhaps emphasizing the wickedness of Amalek. How he led wit in the way. Or perhaps those words, utterly. Utterly destroy. Or perhaps spur them not. Perhaps man and woman, infant and sucking child, ox and sheep, camel and ass. So there's all kinds of things here that could have been emphasized. The voice. The thing is, this is what I'm trying to convey. Saul just didn't go away with the text. He just didn't go away with words. He went away with something of the passion of God affecting his mind. The voice. There's power in words that are conveyed by voice, which is why God has chosen preaching. That's the reason. Now, I know men are going to think they're going to go, and I do, God, we'll have an internet church, or we'll just have the reading here. You know, we'll just convey it all in books. We'll send them home with the books. Church is people coming together and the molecules of air moving all around them, living souls interacting, persons interacting in the same space-time. A living being in the midst of us, indwelling, infilling us, and conveying his word through us to one another. And so the voice. So that Saul went away without excuse. All the pathos had been conveyed to him. He knew the mind of God on the matter. And that's why we should audibly read the scriptures more and more. Because we can nearly feel as we read, well, we begin to learn something about this stress on the words as we read audibly. Well, anyway, Saul, he goes off to do this as he's heard. But as we read, he doesn't fully do it. He doesn't fully obey God. He doesn't obey the voice of the words. He doesn't obey the passion and the clarity with which it was stated and what God really meant. He doesn't heed all the sounds. He's not picked up on the emphases in the voice. And there are some things he leaves out. And those are the things where the emphasis was on in the voice. And so Saul gathers the people together, verse 4. He comes to a city of Amalek. He lays in wait in the valley. He shows clemency to the Kenites, which is good and reliable. And then he begins to smite the Amalekites from Havilah until Shur. He utterly destroyed all the people, it says, with the edge of the sword, verse 8. Everything that was vile and refuge, they destroyed utterly. But there was something wrong. Because it also says, verse 8, he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. He took him alive. And then Saul and the people spurred Agag. Twice it's stated. He took him alive and he spurred him. I mean, that's like, you know, fighting the devil's army and letting the devil go. Letting Satan go. He spurred the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them. The voice said, spur not. Spur not. Utterly destroy. Sheep, lambs, oxen, utterly destroy. Spur not. Especially Agag, the head. So, he didn't give heed to the voice. He didn't obey the words of the voice. And the Lord comes to Samuel and informs Samuel about this. Verse 11. He's turned back from following me and have not performed my commandments. And it grieves Samuel. He cries on to the Lord all night about this. Then he prepares himself to go and talk to Saul about it. He goes early in the morning. And Samuel came to Saul. Verse 13. And as Samuel appears to Saul, Saul comes to him and he gets a first speck in. Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Does he really believe it? He seems to. He seems to be genuine here. Or else he thinks he's going to pull the wool over Samuel's eyes. Blessed be thou of the Lord. I've performed it. I've done all that God said. And he actually does seem to believe this. And at this point, I imagine Samuel standing still in silence, just taking in the noises, the sounds, the voices. And then he says, "What meaneth then this bleating voice? What meaneth this voice of the sheep?" And our translators are right to translate it bleating, because that's what a sheep's voice is, it's bleating. What's this voice of the sheep? All the sheep? This one voice, this bleating. All of these bleats are just a voice. There's a voice of bleating here. And then he says, "And the lowing," it's the same word, "and the voice of the oxen, which I hear." This is the second and third occurrence of the word voice. There are seven occurrences of it. Samuel uses the word twice to describe the voice of all the sheep that should have been slaughtered and the voice of all the oxen that should have been slaughtered. There are voices now. Plenty of sounds now. So you can see Samuel, he's playing on the word here. You heard one voice from God. He told you what to do. And now all I hear are these voices. Of all these animals that you have spurred. My ears are hearing a sound. Hearken to the voice of God's word. I'm hearing other voices. Other voices, Saul, that tell me you had not listened to the voice of God. These other voices are condemning you. These other voices are exposing you that you did not listen to the voice of God. It's as if these voices are glorying over God's voice. We've been spurred. God hasn't been heard. We've been spurred and our voices heard over God's. And God's voice is dim now. God's voice is silent now. And these beasts doomed to destruction are gloating now. Are there sounds and voices coming out of our life that tell us we have not been listening to God's voice? What sounds in our life are overriding God's voice? What bleatings, what lowings, what noises are telling us we are not listening to God? If we are hearing those noises, we haven't been listening to God. This is a solemn thing. In our life, maybe in our home. Are there sounds and noises that show God is not being listened to? The conversation, the radio, the TV, the music, the worldly sounds? Does the Lord have to say, what's this in my ear? Even to come to church, maybe churches and the sounds are telling, it's not God's voice. In fact, all the sounds that I hear here, all the racket that I hear coming out of here, this tells me God's voice is not being listened to. This bleating of the oxen, this bleating of the sheep, what's this? These are sounds I shouldn't be hearing in here. There are sounds coming out of churches that shouldn't be heard in the churches. What singing is this? What cheering and clapping is this? What feeble version of the Bible is this I hear? What kind of praying is this? What kind of singing is this? What kind of preaching is this that I hear? This isn't my voice. And these are overriding my voice. And these are disobeying and disregarding my voice. What place is our church like? I hope there's nothing here that's drowning out God's voice. Things that are under the ban that shouldn't be in this place, that shouldn't be heard in this place, the kind of singing, the kind of contemporary music, the kind of worldly music, the kind of rock and the beat that shouldn't be heard in this place under the ban. And their churches have it. We have to be careful about sounds and voices and noises in God's house. So these voices, the bleating of the sheep, the lowing of the oxen, these voices are telling Saul needs to repent. Needs to repent. But he comes up with an excuse, verse 15. Oh, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest of them we've utterly destroyed. And now Samuel listens to that feeble excuse and he won't have it. And now we come to the fourth and central occurrence of this word voice. Verse 19. Wherefore thou didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. And as I say, that's the fourth of the seventh, and therefore the one in the middle. These voices show you have not obeyed the Lord's voice. That's what he's saying. Now notice how Samuel calls it now the Lord's voice. It's not just Samuel's voice, though it was his voice that spoke the word of God. But Samuel is saying, you haven't heard the Lord's voice. You haven't obeyed the voice of the Lord. It was the Lord's voice. Although the Lord's audible voice wasn't actually heard. There was no sign from heaven or anything like that. It was just a preacher speaking the word of God. But Samuel says it was the Lord's voice. Though it was a man's audible voice. Because he was reading or saying the word of the Lord. And saying it in a way that the Lord wanted it to be said. Because that's very important in prophets. They don't just say the word. They're not robots who just say the word. They're to say it in a way that the Lord wants it to be said. With some kind of pathos and feeling. Some kind of emphasis. And you haven't obeyed that. The voice of the Lord. The Lord's voice. So his speaking God's word was not only God's word, but it was God's voice. Although it was Samuel's tongue and lips and mouth. But there's a sense in which it was God's too. I put my words in your mouth. It's the voice of God. So the words sounded were God's voice. It was like Sinai, where there was a literal voice at that time. The Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. He wrote them too, but he read them first. He spoke them. They were to be heard, not just read. Out of heaven he made you to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. That's what the Bible is, congregation. It's God's voice. Not merely containing God's word, not merely is God's word, it's actually God's voice. That's a high view of inspiration. That's what the Bible is. You're hearing the voice of God in the church. Now, Saul responds to this condemnation by contradicting the prophet, verse 20. And now Saul uses the word voice. Yea, he says, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. And this is the fifth occurrence. And that tells us of his obedience as he sees it. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. And explains why he thinks that he has and why he didn't destroy them all. He says, I brought Agag. I have him captured. He's a prisoner. I've already destroyed all the rest of the Amalekites. And the sheep and the oxen and the spoil, they're for the Lord, you see, to sacrifice. We're going to go to Gilgal, a very important place, religious meeting. We're going to go to Gilgal and we're going to give it all unto the Lord there. But that's not what God said. That's not what God wanted. And I think Saul well knows this. This is human reasoning. This is other voices being listened to. Human reasoning, making dim the voice of God, and that's how people work. Human reasoning comes in, you know,
Well, God did say that so many thousand years ago, but this is a different age, a different culture now. You know, there's other voices here, there's better voices, there's clear voices. We have to listen to them. And people do that, and all the wise think, well, we have obeyed the voice of the Lord. No, you haven't. And the sixth occurrence is Samuel's response. God doesn't want partial obedience and human reasoning. He wants full obedience to his voice and the shutting out of all other voices. And so verse 22, Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" The sixth occurrence of the word voice. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken, that is, to the voice, than the fat of rams. So this human reasoning, oh, we'll bring it to church, we'll give it to the offering, we'll give it up to God's work. No, no, that wasn't what God's voice said. It was all under the ban to be destroyed. Let me point out the last occurrence in our portion. Verse 24, the last verse of a portion of scripture that we've set aside as our text. Saul comes round to acknowledge, though late, his error, though he still seems to lack some genuineness. Saul said unto Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people." And now here we're getting to the heart of the matter. "And obeyed their voice." Their voice. Start of the chapter, Saul, you listen to the voice of the Lord. At the end of our text, it's coming out of his mouth, "I listen to the people's voice." That's where we are in this modern age. People are shouting out the voice of the Lord, and they're listening to the people's voice. This democratic age, this age of the glory of Western democracy that will bring all the chains that this world needs. If the people just have a voice, well, they've been given their voice, never been given the voice as they've been given it in this civilized Western world. And you know what it's doing? It's dimming out the voice of God. And it's the only voice that matters. The voice of the people. Here's the king. Here's the king. He needs democracy. I listen to the voice of the people. I have great doubts about democracy. I have to be honest. I don't know if it's God's way. And especially if kings are going to listen to the people who are at rebellion against God. The king should obey God and govern his people in the fear of God. And thank God that the Lord has given us a king in the church who rules and governs us in accordance with the word of God, the King and Head, Jesus Christ. So a good, true king. So he listened to the people. I feared the people and obeyed their voice. We can imagine what the people are saying. "Oh, it's such a shame, Saul. All this waste. How valuable these beasts are. This could be spoiled. This could enrich us. This could make the land prosperous. This could help our economy. And we could bring it into the church. And what a temple we could build. And what we could do for God." Oh, I could hear them all. Human reason. Blotting out the voice of God. That's probably where it's going. Something along those lines. It's a shame to destroy all this. And so the voice sounded sound. The voice of the people sounded reasonable. But it was contrary to the voice of God. And Saul let it drown God's voice that he heard at the start. Brothers and sisters, we have to be careful of the voices that we hear. And the voices that we listen to. The voices of the people that are contrary to God. There's only one voice you see here. Many people, but it's only one voice, the voice of the people. It was a democratic voice. It was a majority voice. It was opposite and contrary to God's voice.
And therefore, God was in the minority. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just the voice of God and the majority of the people. But with God, one's a majority, because he is truth and righteousness and justice and holiness. He is light. These other voices is darkness, injustice, unrighteousness, disobedience, contrary to God's voice. However it may sound to human reason, voices of darkness. Democratic, but voices of darkness. The people have spoken. How often have you heard that? The referendum. The people have spoken. It's the people's voice. You remember Christ on the earth? The people's voice. Crucify him. Crucify him. The one voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Whose voice are we going to hear? Whose voice are we going to listen to? Every time. Whether it's sodomy and same-sex marriage or abortion or whatever else culture wants to bring in to improve itself, whatever voice, and there are many voices, and they're getting increasingly bad at their grammar, these voices, but they don't care about that. Dehumanizing us, anti-God, destroying human civilization. Mankind needs to get back to listening to the voice of the words of the Lord. That's our greatest need. That's what we have to do. And we as a congregation, brethren and sisters, that's to be our sole object. One voice in this house. God's voice. Sinners don't want God's voice. That's why they don't come to God's house. Wasn't that the first thing that marked Adam as a sinner? I heard your voice. I heard the voice of the Lord walking in the cool of the day, and I hid myself from your voice. God's voice. That's the first occurrence of the word voice in the Bible. Voice comes from God, and God has given us voice, but not to speak contrary to him, but for him. The church is only one voice that it must give heed to. In fact, that's the mark of the true church. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. They know his voice. The shepherd says, I know my voice. They don't know the voice of a stranger. They'll flee from the voice of the strangers. But they know my voice. Brothers and sisters, that's a mark of a true church. That's a mark of a true Christian. It knows the voice of the Lord. It rejects the voice of anybody else, the strangers, foreigners, contrary to the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. The Lord didn't just say a word there. He said voice. Voice. It's a very important theme in the Bible. So we recognize voices, or we ought to do. You remember Saul knew David's voice, it says, and said, is this thy voice, my son David? And David said, it is my voice, my Lord, O King. So it's recognizable voices. And the church ought to recognize the voice of the Lord. So let us do so. And let us say, he is our God. We are the people of his pasture. The sheep of his hand today. If you will hear his voice. Do you see how it says voice again? If you will hear his voice.